back up top, Butler. Butler, a three-pointer. Off the side of the rim, Brown, the rebound. Denver does have a timeout, but they're not using it. 4 seconds, Murray, step back, three-pointer. Won't go, fight for the rebound, Martin, and it's over. The Miami Heat have tied the NBA Finals. What a comeback here on the road for the Heat, and it's one apiece.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
The great Mike Green with the call this past Sunday night. Miami Heat getting the job done. Almost screwing it up at the end, but getting the win. Knotting the series up at a game apiece. Game three coming up tonight as the series shifts to South Beach. Our pal Matt Moore will join us in just a moment from the Action Network and the Locked On NBA podcast to give us all his takes on the NBA Finals. Johnny Venezia still to come on the show, talking the college baseball super regionals. 8 buckets still to come. NFL win totals, all our baseball bets for tonight, all our NBA bets for tonight, and golf bets for the RBC this weekend as well as we move towards 7 p.m. Eastern time. But joining us right now, I believe he is live from my old stomping grounds, Miami. Pretty good place to be, especially given that when you walk outside in the Northeast, it's like the area in a video game where like the air is a different color and your health bar depletes, except like I can't like drink an elixir to save myself this time. I just have to stay inside, which is always great. Our pal Matt Moore joins us now here on the show. Matt does great work for our friends over at the Action Network, host of the Locked On NBA podcast. He is on Twitter at HP Basketball. Matt, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. How's it going?
Good, man. Looking out over Biscayne Bay. A nice day here in Miami, a little rainy. It's starting to clear off. And I'm just trying to figure out how much I'm going to have to pay you guys to license 8 buckets when I start doing that for NBA win totals over the summer.
Well, the problem, Matt, with that is, because I'll be honest with you, I've played this out with the other sports in my head. And I was like, NBA, and it's like, all right, in game 37, the Denver Nuggets will be on the road. And it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, you could do some long-ass podcasts for sure. Is it? Do you really want to do 8 buckets for the NBA? You really want to do all those games?
Well, we'll call it 82 buckets.
You really want to do 82 buckets?
There you
Matt?
Go, 82 buckets.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's a game 61. Are the Spurs tanking by this game? That'll affect the point spread. We'll figure it out. Matt, has anything that's happened in the first two games of the finals, so tied at one apiece, obviously Denver won game one, Miami won game two barely, but got the road win in Denver. Has anything about these two games surprised you? I think we always have these ideas of like, well, when these teams play, this is what's going to happen. Doesn't always play out that way. What surprised you through two games?
I think it's an interesting question. Denver performing below expectations is very much a eye of the beholder question, right? So you can either go with the Heat make you play worse, which is what they did to Milwaukee and Boston, although Boston had this penchant. We saw that versus the Sixers. And then Denver, right? They played worse than they should. They haven't played to potential, and they feel very strongly they can play better. The other side of that is like Miami could just be doing this to you. Like that's just who Miami is. So like trying to figure that out. Duncan Robinson not being a liability is a big swing for Miami. Like that's a big addition. The Nuggets had opportunities to really challenge the Kevin Love minutes and punish it. And it was like, they just missed on the execution. Like so much of game two wasn't about tactics. It was about execution. And so the question is, can Denver improve its execution enough against a very sharp, high execution Miami team to get this thing back on track, given that Miami's got a chance to get a real hold on the series with two games in Miami. I think, you know, the idea of it being a short series is something based off of pretty, I think, sound logic, and it could definitely still go that way. But Miami did what they needed to do, which was the Denver Nuggets played like crap in game two. The Heat shot 49% from three. They needed both of those things to win that game. They will need those types of things going forward, but they got to happen. So that increases the odds of the series going longer. So, yeah, like there's some tactical stuff I think that's going to play out over the course of the series. The big question is, like, can you get Miami uncomfortable if you're the Denver Nuggets? You're the more talented team, but can you execute at a high enough level to get them uncomfortable? That's the story in these two games in Miami.
Do you think they can?
I think they can. You know, I think this goes into stuff like Michael Porter Jr. Yesterday very much did not seem like a guy that was rattled. He didn't seem like a guy that was shaken. He seemed very much, and like this is reading body language in a 15-minute presser, but he definitely like had the tone of like, yeah, no, I play badly. Like I play badly. I play bad. How about I not play bad again? KCP, kind of the same thing. I play badly. How about we not play bad? The Nuggets, I was a little surprised because I thought they might be tight. Miami does that. Like, all the pressure is on you. You played terrible. They've stolen home court. Denver was really relaxed yesterday. Michael Malone seems like he'd blown off as much steam as he needed to. They had team dinner on Monday night. And then what was described as a very frank and honest film session on Tuesday morning. I checked with some Nugget sources, and it seems like that was all genuine, that like everyone feels like, all right, yeah, no, we're going to do this. And so I think they're in a good headspace. It's a matter of, again, like, you got to make it happen. And Miami has been incredible at getting things to go their way. Like, not even like fighting for loose balls or making tough shots, but just like, how about the weirdest voodoo imaginable? And if that stuff keeps going against Denver, do they have the resiliency? I honestly don't know the answer to that question, which is what puts the series into a big question mark. Denver has the capacity to still not only win, but dominate the series, but you're going to have to do it. And in order to do it, you can't make mistakes. And if they make those mistakes, Miami's going to make them pay every single time.
Matt, something we've talked a lot about on the show already, I've seen it in a bunch of other places too, not just that Miami's been successful, but how their points are being distributed, not just among all their players, but the fact that they're like the best fourth quarter team by far, and they don't play particularly well early in the game versus how they play in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, they're absolutely the best, and they're like plus 90 or something in the fourth quarter. And so a lot of people, myself included, have kind of speculated, okay, like with the Nuggets off a loss, and I bring this up because you mentioned like media day and you were kind of observing the team. Like, are the Nuggets off a loss going to come out and play really well in the first half before we get to the fourth quarter voodoo, magic, shot making, whatever that Miami seems to have in every series? It kind of makes me want to play the Nuggets early tonight, maybe first quarter or first half. Do you kind of get that vibe from them? Again, like, you're around the team a little bit more. You mentioned Porter. Just like, how do you think the Nuggets come out in this game, having lost in game two?
Yeah, I think if you like Nuggets, I think leaning towards first half is really good. Miami's been quite honestly pretty terrible even in the playoffs first quarter, first half. They think about how badly Denver played to start game two, and they were down by three at half, or at the quarter mark, and then led at the half, right? And some of that was a crazy second quarter run from the Nuggets bench unit. But if you don't think, like, the big key question here is, do you think that Miami can outscore the Jokic minutes by 8+ in the first half? If you don't, you should probably take the Denver Nuggets in the first half, because like, that's what it's going to take in order, and not just because of how well Denver's bench unit played, which is not necessarily sustainable, just that you have to get like a wide margin on this Nuggets team because of all the ways that they can hurt you. And like, the variance leans very much towards Nuggets plus 8 in Jokic minutes versus Heat plus 8 in Jokic minutes. So I think from that perspective, I think there's a good chance to play them in the first half. I will also say, like, look, if you're looking for a live angle on this game, this is a stat that just blew my mind. The Miami Heat have been down going into the fourth quarter 12 times this postseason. Sounds about right. They played a bunch of games. 12 times they have been down going into the fourth. They have won the fourth quarter in those games 11 times. When they have been down, they have won that quarter 11, straight up won it 11 times. And the ATS numbers are going to be even better. I'm still working on getting those from some partners of various books. So if the Heat are down, I'm absolutely going to fire live on the Miami Heat in that quarter, just because I think it's difficult for the book to kind of expect how good they are because they keep breaking these models.
You better hear Nick and Ken on a wonderful Wednesday talking the NBA Finals with our pal Matt Moore from the Action Network and the Locked On NBA podcast. Matt on Twitter at HP Basketball. Matt, who wins tonight's game? How do you see it playing out? Does it go? I know you gave us a bunch of like, if this happens, then this. Who do you think wins tonight? Do you have any bet side or total coming up for game number three with Miami and Denver?
You're putting the screws in me here, Nick. So I think I'm on under first half. I like that spot. I think either the Heat come out and clank a bunch, or the Nuggets come out flat again and the Heat defense completely clamps them up again. So I like under first half. That's hit consistently in the finals. That's hit over the last couple of years. That's hit throughout these playoffs. And I think that's just where Miami's going to get this game to again, is an under in the first half. If I'm going to play a side, I'm taking Denver minus two. Like, it's the logical conclusion, bounce back spot. They played so terrible. There's just so many illogical things that the Heat keep doing that it's hard to be like, yeah, I feel super confident, but if I got to lean towards it, I'll lean towards the logical side, which is Denver minus two. I don't want any part of it. Like, the Heat shooting 49% in game two was enough for me to be like, yikes. So I'm going to back off on playing the side here. I'm going to stick with the first half under. Gabe Vincent over points and assists. Keep it to those two plays. Keep it tight. And then we'll try and go bigger in game three. Four, rather.
Matt, I'm curious, probably get a lot of the same markets in game four as we got tonight, especially no injury news and no Tyler Hero tonight. So maybe no Tyler Hero this series. We'll see. In terms of props, I know like the conversation that's been happening a lot. Nick and I had it a couple of days ago, seen it in a bunch of places. Just, you know, the strategic adjustment by Eric Spoelstra, whether he wants to admit it or not, like have Jokic be a scorer rather than a passer. So game one, triple double. Game two, 40 plus points. Like obviously two kind of totally different Jokic games. So we've had one of each. Denver has now had an opportunity to kind of review the film, make whatever adjustments they're going to make. What kind of Jokic game do you think it's going to be tonight? His points prop is basically about 29.5 everywhere, about the same price to have a triple-double as he's been in game one and game two.
I think if you're going to play it, you should play more against what they're limiting than what they're allowing. So it's not that Jokic can't go out there and score 40. He can. The difference here is really the pace. So if you think the series will get faster, I think you should play against the market anticipating it and go over on points and assists for Jokic. If you don't, which I don't, I think you should probably play Jokic under assists. It wasn't even necessarily that they kept him from passing. So he averages 16 in the playoffs on potential assists. He had 11 in game two, and you're like, that's five less. That's such a big drop. The pace, I cannot express to you how slow it was. The fourth quarter had a 78 pace rating, Ken. Like, 78, that's trying to chisel through diamond. That's how slow that is. So if it's just a slow game, there's fewer opportunities. And fewer opportunities, I think, gets you there. Versus like Jokic's points will kind of rack up and he can get fouls and there's all these ways. So if you believe in that strategy, you should play the pace angle and go under on Joker assists rather than trying to play the over on points. And it's like, does Denver win if Joker doesn't score and doesn't have an assist? Probably not. So like there's some angles to kind of get to there as well. But if you're going to just play the prop, I think it's definitely under on assists if you believe they can keep the pace down.
Matt, do any props on the Miami side stand out to you here? We know Tyler Hero not going to play in tonight's game, so don't have to worry about his kind of injection into the lineup. Any props on the Miami side for tonight?
I like Gabe Vincent over on points and assists. It keeps going up. I'm going to keep playing it over. The Nuggets can't play two on ball versus everybody. And they got to put pressure on Jimmy Butler. Vincent's, now they may switch that up tonight, but if they do, Vincent is the one guy that can generate assists out of that coverage. So, like, he's the guy that I see having the biggest leverage advantage in these situations. He's getting clear space versus drop defense from Joker, and Jamal Murray is not staying tight enough to him. So, from that perspective, I love Gabe Vincent's ability to keep performing and putting up points and assists, which makes his, honestly, his MVP odds very interesting to me. That's the one that I like the most. I'm not going to get in on Jimmy Butler. I thought that he would bounce back in that game too. I was expecting a big game from him. Everyone I talk to here is like, he is hurt. Like he is hurt. And that changes the way that he attacks. And he's still generating points and being a winning player, which is what he says he wants to do. But I don't want to count on the incredible shooting continuing every single game, even if it may continue over the course of the series or in enough games. So I'll just stick to Gabe Vincent over points and assists. I'm going to stay away from anything Butler related.
Matt, we have like a minute left. Kind of the million-dollar question here. Because I know you mentioned, and I think you're phrasing it the way a lot of people are, the way I've done it. It's like, well, the Heat can do it. They definitely could. They're certainly like they're shooting well enough. Like who do you actually think is going to win the series? Like I still think it's Denver maybe in seven, but I'm like, have not bet it, willing to be wrong. Who wins the series and who's finals MVP? And if it's Miami, I can't wait to hear this answer. We have about 45 seconds left.
Yeah. I still think it's Denver. I still think it's Denver in six, bumping it up a game for everyone that they'll take. If they win another one, I'll say Nuggets in seven. I feel kind of trapped into the answers here because everyone's like, well, I'm not going to doubt this team because they just keep doing it. I'm like, okay. So if you do something that you shouldn't be able to continuously over, like, does it get more probable over a long period of time if the flat chances of it happening? If you adjust for everything with their shooting, they're still performing above that. If you perform everything on the Nugget side defensively from the Heat, they're still performing below that. Like, I feel trapped into a logical place where I got to say Nuggets, but I will, like, be honest, like, yeah, like, Miami's voodoo has got me skittish. And that's why I'm staying away from betting anything more on the series.
My Venmo is at the Costos, by the way, if you'd like to purchase eight buckets. Just throwing it out there. Matt's on Twitter at HP Basketball. It does great work for our friends over at the Action Network and the Lockdown NBA podcast. My friend, enjoy the game. Good luck with the bets. And enjoy Miami, you jerk, while Ken and I both sit here basically in like this in Blade Runner. Enjoy, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Great Matt Moore here with us on You Better, You Bet.